Sure. So, well, jobs, state jobs are definitely one way to kind of bring this home for your rural constituents and for us in sort of the more urban rural locations. You know, you've represented this part of the state for on and off for about a decade. Do you feel like your sort of more farther flung constituents are really in touch with these big broad stroke fiscal conversations that are happening up in the Capitol? I mean, how do you really bring those issues, especially the kind that have to maybe come to a public vote at some point? How do you bring those issues really home for your constituents?
You know, I think that's probably the best question to ask at this point is just exactly how we do that. And I've talked to the Walker administration officials. I've talked to my colleagues on the Finance Committee and elsewhere about the need to take this conversation outside of the Capitol building once session is over with and really to better educate Alaskans across the state and to get them involved in, you know, some critical decisions that we're going to have to make in the budget. And I'm, like I tried to say earlier, convinced that this is a multi-year issue. It's not just this year alone that we're going to have to make tough choices with the budget, but it's next year and beyond. But let me just be clear and say that I don't know how many people across the state, it's not just in rural Alaska, but even in South Central on the road system, really appreciate the severity of this budget, this revenue shortfall environment that we're in. It's that drastic in my mind.
You said in an interview with our colleagues up in Dillingham on KDLG earlier, kind of before session began, that you feel like Alaska kind of goes through these boom and bust cycles and that we're in one of those bust periods right now and things maybe will improve in kind of a matter of years. It sounds like you think, you know, this don't panic session is really something that's going to stretch across a number of years. I mean, can you kind of quantify that for me? Like, how long do you think it'll take us to get out of these woods and how is that going to happen?
Well, the good news is that we have financial reserves that can carry us out, depending on the price of oil, of course, can carry us out for, you know, at a bare minimum of at least 2 to 3 years. And depending on how much we cut back on state spending, redirect our priorities, that could even take us further than that, maybe 3, 4, 5 years or what have you. The other good news is that and this is a very tricky subject for anyone to negotiate, is the fact that we have a permanent fund that is earning a lot more money than is needed for the paying of dividends. And so I don't expect there'll be any decisions made this session to access the permanent, the excess permanent fund earnings. But, you know, I'll be the first to just be very blunt with people that we may have to at some point down the road and sometime soon. And let me be very clear, you know, the first objective is to protect people's dividends. And I think we can do that. But I also think that we may have to use some of those extra earnings from a corpus that's now $50 billion and more. And assuming the stock market continues to do fairly well, we can use that that money in some way to help us approach this deficit and not have to really go forth and, you know, not only cut, but perhaps even remove wholesale a lot of essential state services across all of our communities throughout the state.
Sure. So it sounds like we're going to try to kind of exhaust all our possibilities, you know, regarding our biggest industries and, you know, trying to support good oil tax revenue and things like that, you know, that have sort of always carried the state. I know that you have been an opponent of Governor Sean Parnell's oil tax system, which the repeal effort for that failed last fall. And I'm wondering if that's still on the table, repealing that system, and how you think that would help.
No, I don't think it is this session. Again, we've heard from the new governor that he's had some concerns with the way the bill has been structured. And that with low oil prices, vis-a-vis the incentives that were written into Senate Bill 21, that in some instances there might be activities up in the North Slope where oil companies are actually, you know, we're paying them to harvest our oil as opposed to them paying us for the cost of the oil through primarily the production tax credit. But I don't think that that issue is going to come up in any significant way this session, but not to say that it may rear its head down the road if oil prices continue to stay low, you know, beyond 2015.
Sure. So there's also been talk this session of kind of diversifying our natural resource, you know, opportunities, including by building this natural gas pipeline from the North Slope down to Nikiski, which I know that the legislature is planning to take up hopefully in a special session this fall. And that's something, that product is something that Unalaska has, you know, looked into too with potential pilot projects. It's an emerging industry, you know, it could support kind of the shipping industry we have going here. Do you have a sense that there's a way that sort of your rural communities, communities like ours, could get involved in that new industry? Kind of what's the outlook for bringing that out to these sort of places?
Well, another very good question. We've had in the last 4 years at least three major pieces of legislation tied to getting a gas line developed in Alaska. Every one of those bills, myself and other rural legislators have worked hard and been very successful in putting in language that would tie the benefits from that gas line to rural Alaska, whether it was to deliver propane or the setting up of a fund that would help rural communities get access to natural gas, or other language tied to energy prices. We have been very successful in at least putting that into state law that should a gas line ever be built, and everybody down here is watching the process very closely, that the beneficiaries will be the residents of the entire state, not just those that are along the corridor, the gas line itself, and many of whom already enjoy natural gas benefits at this point.